Well, welcome to break number 38. Let's answer that question right away. So what do we do? Now that we have that understanding, let's look at this flesh and let's see what we do. Well, first of all, let me just remind the listeners here that in early America, we didn't have to make such a fuss about rightly dividing, because the people understood that as you read your Bible, you know, you read about the creation, you read about the Old Testament, you read about the law, you read about the Gospels, Jesus comes down, he comes down to the Jews, and then you read about the Great Commission at the end of Mark and the early 8 chapters of Acts, and then you realize that Christ goes to Paul, Paul goes to the Gentiles, and what's taught to the Gentiles is taught to the American Christians, or wherever in the world. And then eventually comes the tribulation, and then eventually comes Christ's second coming. In the meantime, you learn from Paul that there's the devil himself who wants to come and get everything himself, wants to be most high, as the Most High, it says, and he will come first as the Antichrist. People get that from just reading your Bible. Because, see, back in those days, we had one Bible for a while anyway. They did start squeaking those other ones in at first, but people rejected that. They knew better. And so they didn't have to have this huge emphasis on Paul. Didn't have to make this big fuss about rightly dividing. It's a simple thing to understand. But today, because of all the emphasis on the Great Commission brought to us by a Baptist missionary, I guess I would say it's late 1700s, early 1800s, so now we have to kind of slap people a little bit with a spiritual knockout that says, hey, listen, that Great Commission was Old Testament. It was before. Now we have the risen Savior, and even Paul even teaches to the Jews that it takes the death of the testator to become the New Testament. So after Christ dies and is risen, then we have the New Testament, and that's when he goes to Paul. It's that simple. But Christians today, so-called Christians today, have been duped by different Bibles, by different churches and denominations and teachings, and it's a mess. So yes, there needs to be a heavy push on rightly dividing, so they understand the scriptures. Now, back to the question. So what do we do now that we have that understanding about our flesh? Well, this is the part that we don't like. This is what people just don't like to hear. Because, see, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about if you want to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Well, people don't want to suffer that persecution. Life is hard enough in the economy. Life is hard enough with our health and our health care and our insurances and our jobs, et cetera, our families, all the things that are taking place during these times of falling away. But see, if you want to actually please God and say no to your flesh, then you're going to suffer some persecution. That's just what Paul says. He kind of warned us, you know it. Well, here's some of the stuff we need to remember here. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what you do when you take upon that operation. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the tough part. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That's what we do. We do that with our technology. We do that with our media. We do that with our clothes. We do that with our foods. We do that with what we buy, what we charge. All the things that we do, our lifestyles, our activities, our entertainment, more often than not, we're doing those things to make provision for the flesh, and then our lusts would be fulfilled. That's a very simple verse. Do I need to talk a long time about that? No, not really. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure you have. You get that operation, you're cut away. Christ enters, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, make not provision for the flesh. That's tough. Make not provision for the flesh. In other words, don't do something that you know you're going to challenge your flesh. Your music. You put on music that you might like, and I know you're going to because that appeals to your flesh. That's the rhythm. That's the beat. That's what music does today. And I should say that's what the music of today does. There's music out there that doesn't appeal to the flesh. Paul's very simple when he says to us to avoid, okay? Avoid those provisions that will appeal to your flesh and will help you reach towards that lust. It's a tough decision to make, isn't it? Now, Galatians 5:13, it says this here, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Again, we have the liberty in Christ, because when we realize our flesh is cut away from our soul and spirit, then we have this liberty. Because these things that we do by our flesh and pleases our flesh, those things are going to be burnt in the judgment seat of Christ. Well, see, we have that liberty. Well, but then he reminds us, and it's a good thing to be reminded, for brethren, you've been called into liberty. He's created this liberty for us. But then he reminds us, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know, you say to yourself, well, I'm going to do this. Well, it's going to burden the judgment seat of Christ. So we don't make any issue out of it. We don't say no. And we just have to learn to live with that stuff. If we do that long enough, we're just going to find ourselves doing it to please the flesh. And are you doing it in the flesh? No, because, see, you're separated from your flesh. You are now just choosing to please your flesh. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 1:29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. So our flesh does not enjoy the truth. Our flesh does not enjoy the preaching and teaching of the truth. Our flesh does not enjoy a King James Bible. Our flesh does not enjoy the kind of music that would please God, the melody that God talks about. Our flesh doesn't glory in that stuff. And if our flesh isn't glorying, then we're not really all that happy. Now he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, he says this here. He says, let's see if I can find it here. Galatians 1:16. He says, to reveal his son in me, remind yourself, just kind of a bunny trail here, that God chose Paul, that Paul was going to go out and he was going to reveal the risen Savior to the Gentiles. That was his ministry. That was not the ministry of those other apostles, by the way. To reveal his son in me, he says in Galatians 1:16, that I might preach him among the heathen. The heathen were the Gentiles. It's not just lost people, it's the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And what happens here, a lot of people don't confer with their King James Bible. They confer with a preacher or a pastor or a missionary. And they go to them. And to some point, I'm okay with that, because that's what I'm doing, is I'm just teaching the scriptures. And if people want to ask me for my opinion, you know, that's not what you should be doing. You're conferring with flesh and blood. But to confer with spiritual, to confer with Christ, to confer with that King James Bible. The King James Bible is not flesh and blood. And if you're going to confer with me, I'm going to take you to your scriptures. You don't need to know what I think. I'll show you what the Bible says. It even says it on the website. It's not what I think. It's what the Bible says. So let's not make provision for the flesh. But we will. Aren't you glad about that liberty? But don't let that liberty as an occasion for us to do something fleshy, you know. Don't confer with flesh and blood. Open that Bible. Quit looking for all these preachers and teachers that are out there preaching these good messages. I would have to say that much of what we're looking for is we're looking for these guys to please your flesh. You want to hear a good sermon. You don't really want to hear what he says, but you want to hear a good sermon. You really don't want to do, but you just want to hear a good sermon. And I know that for a fact. I've been there, done that. I went to church for many years so I could watch somebody draw a good sermon. Well, I was one of the rare ones. I still listened to what was said, and I tried to make those changes in my life. Oh, did the persecution come? The challenges were there. My flesh didn't even like it. But sometimes our flesh does like that, because we're thinking we're such a good Christian. We're pleasing our flesh in our religion and in our Christianity. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 says this. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Another thing that does tend to happen with many of us is that we finally get a hold of a King James Bible. We get a hold of the truth. We understand rightly dividing. We understand this spiritual circumcision, this operation made without hands. We understand Paul's manner of life. We start reading Paul, and then we start making Paul become our policeman. Now we're trying to make ourselves perfect by the flesh. Now we expect ourselves to do the right thing. We're really no different than what the pastors teach about the gospel teaching, because you have to live that right life. Now that we're Christians based on Paul's teachings, we take all of Paul's teachings and we try to demand that perfection. And Paul is the first one to say, it's not going to happen. You can't do that. Why? Because it's your flesh you're going to battle. Do you think now that you're a Christian, a true Christian, sincere Christian, that now you can make that flesh perfect? Are ye so foolish? Have ye begun in the Spirit, which is what we have? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? That's what we find ourselves doing. I find more and more people, when they get a hold of this stuff with Paul, as I call it, now they just become the demanding perfect Christian, and they demand other people to be able to follow Paul, and they have forgotten about the issue with our flesh. It's still there. Other people have that battle. You have that battle, and you're not going to get over it. You're not going to turn yourselves into this perfect Christian now that you've got the risen Savior. Well, let's continue that on in the next break.